Let's sing number 100 in the hymn book. 100 in the hymn book. Lord, we just come under your precious blood tonight. Wash us, Lord. Wash us in your precious blood. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, come. Oh, Calvary stream is flowing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, glory.
Here that I could come here. I love this camp. The Lord has done so much for me. I can't tell it all. I'm so thankful that Jesus came to this camp, that he gave us this camp, and he's changed many lives by the precious blood of Jesus. And through the wonderful Word of God. Oh, I'm so thankful for this precious word. I'm so thankful that when Jesus had the Last Supper, he said that he loved them. We just read it. He says, he came into the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Isn't that wonderful? And then at the supper, he girded himself and he took off his clothes and he washed the disciples' feet. And they must have felt so humbled to have Jesus do that for them. In those days, they traveled muddy roads, not like our nice paved roads, and that was a servant's place to wash their feet when they came in. But oh, Jesus took on a servant, and oh, maybe the disciples said, oh, he should have done it, or he should have done it, but you know, Jesus wanted to show them that he was a servant of all, and that he loved them with all that was within them. They'll never forget how Jesus washed their feet, I'm sure. But oh, I'm so thankful that when it was almost all over, he gave them a new commandment, and he said, I give it unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Oh, I'm so thankful for that great love. I'm so thankful that he died for me, and that he He brought joy and peace into our lives because he died for us. Oh, I'm so thankful. And that he gave us that commandment to love one another. Oh, that Jesus might perfect that love within our own hearts, that we might spread this wonderful love to everyone we meet. Thank you for giving me the privilege of being here this year.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we're so thankful for our sister Ruth, how you have kept your hand upon her. Your good hand. And Lord Jesus, we commit her again to you for this coming year, Lord, that you will walk with her every step of the way. That you would keep her strong in spirit and in body, Lord. As her day, so shall her strength be. We take you at your word, Lord, and I pray that your angels would encamp round about her. Oh, Jesus, may she sense your nearness all the time. We just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. One thing I appreciate of Sister Ruth, she often says, I pray for you every day. Now, I don't know if there's many people that do that. I know my parents prayed for me every day. And I'm thankful for those who hold up the ministry in prayer and the work in our churches and camp before God. And so thank you, Sister Ruth. Any more testimonies?
I really wouldn't have wanted to miss those testimonies. And the reason I say that is because I'm so blessed with the testimonies we've had so far. And it came to me that Ephesians 4, you know this verse, it's about the body of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is just what some of you have been saying. And I see that we're all on the same track. It's so wonderful to be here. I'm so happy I could be part of this very small group. It's a real privilege to be with you. And the Lord has drawn so near, and I'm so happy to be here. I have moved around a few times in my life, and yet in all those moves, Pilgrim Camp has been a constant. I could always come to Pilgrim Camp, whether I lived in New York or in Maryland or Virginia, I could come to Pilgrim Camp. It's kind of like a summer home. And I've come to appreciate the long-standing relationships that I have developed here at camp. I've just feel that we've grown together in love. What a difference it makes when you see a life before you. And he said, knowing of whom you have learned these things. What a privilege to learn from somebody that you can tell is a godly person. I say that in contrast to some things I've discovered about some books and some authors of some books. It's not that hard to write a book about spiritual things. It's not that hard to write about some books of the Bible or some theology. And I have read some of them. But I don't know the author. I don't know his manner of life. I don't know what his hobbies are. I don't know how he spends his free time. I don't know if he's patient or impatient. I don't know if he has any fruits of the Spirit. I don't know that. So should we give the same heed to the things that we read when we don't know somebody as somebody that we can see right day to day or month to month or whatever? I think there's a real advantage to small groups and to small churches because we can really know one another and we can edify each other in love better in a small church than in some of the bigger churches. But God appoints big churches. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's no loss if a church is small. In fact, it's good. And I know my nephew in California wanted to visit a church. He went there 3 times, and he never met the same person twice. It was kind of hard to get connected in a big church. In these small churches, it's not that hard to get connected. You can't help but get connected. So I just wanted to share that with you. I want to share one other thought with you, and that I've been reading in the book of Proverbs. I've been trying to learn more Proverbs better. And I was really impressed that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about our soul. Now, where would you know we have a soul if you didn't have a Bible? Would you have learned that in school? In secular school? Do they ever talk about the soul in school? Where would we have learned that we have a soul? And he said in Proverbs 19:2, here it says, "Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good." And I've been tracing what some of the places in the Bible it talks about knowledge. It says our soul needs to have knowledge. You probably know that verse, that for lack of knowledge my people perish. That's awfully sobering, isn't it? And so I was very cheered when I read this proverb, which says, "The Lord preserves knowledge." And I thought, oh, he does preserve that knowledge. And you know what my thought first went to? Libraries. I was thinking, oh yeah, probably the Lord preserved the texts, the Greek texts, the Hebrew texts of the Bible. That's what my first thought was. He preserved the Word of God. But then I looked up in a commentary by Matthew Henry, and he said, God preserves knowledge through men who have godly knowledge. That put a whole different perspective on it. God preserves knowledge to people through their lives. Through their living out Christianity. That's been a real blessing to me. I thought, the way God looks at things, it's not always just about our head, is it? It's not always just knowledge in our head, but there's that spiritual knowledge. And so I think how wonderful it is to be in a church where you know each other well. So I'm just praising God that I could be here with you. The Lord has already helped me so much. He keeps helping me here, blessing me, helping me to go on in Him. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Staff has a song for us. Him I owe.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are in the midst and that you desire to minister to each one of us tonight. And so, Lord, give us that faith to just receive from your hand. Oh, God. Jesus. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.